Shabbat Shalom. Today, our original plan was for Rabbi David to speak, but he's still recovering. He's in the process. So today I'm playing and I'm speaking. I'm glad I'm not dancing at the same time here. It's the next step, next phase. So I will not say anything new, but I think it's important to remember, always to remind ourselves about the biblical truth for us. So today the Torah portion Ekev, because it's Deuteronomy chapter 7 till chapter 11. And the name of my message will be Conflict of Worldviews. Ooh. Big topic. I will not answer all the questions for sure. It's not my job and not my goal, but I want to show something about our lives. So one of the most striking stories showing this conflict is recorded in Deuteronomy. Thank you. The chapter 9. So please open with me and let's look here. The interesting subject. Conflict of worldviews here. So chapter 9, and also I want to read this chapter because this verses, because I think it's one of the greatest picture, and this story is great story to illustrate the battle inside every one of us, inside every person. Actually, when I read it, I find myself here in the same situation. So verse 9, Deuteronomy chapter 9:9. Moses speaking to people of Israel, he telling them, "When I went to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone Adonai cut with you, I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I did not eat bread or drink water." I have a question. Who had the same experience for 40 days? Similar. I mean, I'm agree with bread, but can you imagine without water? It's hard. I remember we had fast like 2 weeks. It was something. You can smell everything. Literally everything. So Moses telling them, "I went to the mountain and I prayed for you. This was my goal." For 40 nights, 40 days, he prayed and prayed and fast to the Lord. I mean, it was huge step in his life. He was educated to the Lord and he was in love in Israel with Israel. His heart was filled with love to Israel. And look what's happening in verse 12. "Adonai said to me, 'Get up, go quickly down from there here, for your people, they have quickly turned out of the way I commanded them. They have made a molten image for themselves.'" Can you see two different opinions about life? Two different worldviews. So he's fasting for them for 40 days. He's praying. He's looking for the Lord. In the same time, there are having feast, drinking, eating, taking gold together, all the women, can you imagine, even women gave their rings and everything, earrings, only to build a golden cult, to worship him. So for 40 days, I want to repeat here, Moses has fasted and prayed, humbling himself before the Lord. His goal was to find the Lord's will, to receive his Torah and vision for the future of Israel. He was mediator between the Lord and the people of Israel. But the rest of Israel had sinned and perverted those same 40 days, making a golden idol to replace the true God of Israel. I had in my experience some situation like this. Not, of course, not 40 days of fast, but when I prayed for somebody and I asked him, "What's happening with you?" He said, like, "Fun, I had wonderful time. I drank, I had something." I said, "Okay." I'm stop fasting for you, for now. The same, what's the point here? What's a study for me personally? What's a picture for me? The same in our lives. One part of us is going to the mountain of the Lord, but every one of us, we have other part which is tempted to build a golden calf. Every one of us. And I want to prove it. And for Israelites, of course, one of the reasons could be because of their different past and life experience, Moses and the rest of the Israel. They came from different backgrounds, and because of it had different worldviews, because our background shaped our worldview. He was raised in the Pharaoh house. They were raised as slaves, of course. They had this stamp on them. Moses and the people of Israel had a completely different perception of spiritual life, completely different. A completely different awareness of God, of His plans and purposes for them. They looked at the same situation from the different points of view. This is very important to remember. And what's interesting here, they were at the same desert, at the same time, they were close to the mount, together. It was the same situation, same circumstances, yet their reactions was so different, radically different. Moses and the people of Israel. While Moses was in prayer, seeking God's direction, the people were corrupted and building an idol to a false god. And how strong was faith of Moses, like the rock, but how feeble, how fleeing was the faith of the people of Israel in the same time. One situation, one time, the same place, the same circumstances, but how different their reactions, their attitudes, their hearts, their faith, their expectation. Can you see here? In the same situation, the same place. One of the answers to the question, why would they do that, is simply that Moses and the people of Israel had two completely different worldviews. It's in their head, in their hearts. Worldviews that were at war with each other, always. And I believe, the same with us. I don't know. I'm not sure with everybody here, but let's say most of us. I always ask to people who don't have temptation, please raise your hand and be my teacher. Tell me how I would take it from you. I like the Romans chapter 7. This is one of my favorite, actually, scriptures, all the favorite for me. But this is the answer for this. This is the great example for us. Chapter 7 of Romans. Rabbi Shaul speaking about his own struggle, about his own personal difficulties, about the same mountain experience in his life. From the verse 23, you can read it all the end of the chapter, but I want to read from the verse 23. But I see a different law in my body parts, battling against the law of my mind and bringing me into bondage under the law of sin. Can you imagine battling inside of him? He is explaining here. And verse 24, I believe this is our cry sometimes to the Lord. Miserable man that I am. He's crying. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy. Actually, our life with the Lord, it takes effort. It takes sacrifice. And sacrifice, it's always cost for us. It's not nothing, you know. Lord, you can take whatever I don't need. Actually, He wants to take our heart, our life, our minds, our everything the best, because we are His. He purchased us. Miserable man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death. And now I can hear you asking, if Rabbi Shaul was so distressed by this conflict within himself, how can I ever maintain a strong faith? How can I make the right decisions in my life? How can I be on the right side? And I want to read from the Torah portion what the Moses speaking about it, how he described it. And actually, I will read a few places of scriptures that brought me freedom. I received freedom while I read these places of scripture years ago. So, first, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 9 from the verse 5. It's a little bit before experience on the mountain. So Moses explaining them why they are entering the promised land, how it's possible. And this is unpleasant words, very unpleasant words, because we like to hear only nice thing. I mean, it's not easy to receive sometimes, to receive truth, but it's helpful for us. So he's speaking to them, you know, I would say, because you are the best, you are beautiful, you full of faith. This is why the Lord is leading you to the beautiful place and it's given to you because it's fit for you. I mean, it's perfect for you. You are so perfect. But it's not about the Israel here. He's speaking here. It is not because of your righteousness. How could it be? Yeah, it's not because of your righteousness. Or because of your heart is so upright that you go in to take possession of their land. Adonai swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, understand that it is not for your righteousness that Adonai your God is giving you this good land to possess. It's hard words. It's truth. And later he explained the experience on the mountain. This is the next verses. And twice he's speaking to them, it's not because of your righteousness. It's not because of your righteousness. You are going to the promised land and will take and possess this land. It's not because of your righteousness. And I believe, I think from all my heart, this is very important truth for all of us. All of us. The fact is that we are tempted to consider victories and successes as our own personal achievement. If I'm successful, it's because of me. But if things seem not to go so well, who then is responsible for our failures and defeats? Of course, Moses. Are you agree with me? So many times we like to find somebody guilty in our mistakes. And this is nature of many people, and this is actually sinful nature. We need to fight with it all our life. So Moses knew something important here. He told them that once the nation of Israel had conquered the land, they would think it to be the result of their own qualities, gifts, charisma, and righteousness. And this is why he's speaking to them. Remember, you are going to the promised land not because you are so righteous and perfect, not because of it. Because I leading you to there. I promise to your fathers. Because I love you. You can read it. So many reasons here, except one reason. Not because you are so perfect. Not because you are so perfect. Therefore, remember, the Deuteronomy chapter 8, and thank you, Brian, to read this place of scripture. It's very important here. From the verse 17, you will think to yourself, Adonai your God, because it is He who is giving you the power to get wealth, in order to confirm His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors. Beautiful place of scripture. We have faith. We have place. Have peace in our heart, forgiveness, righteousness, when we understand and remember it is the Lord helping us and that He enabled us to be support to each other. Our success is only because the Lord called us, justified us, and glorified us. Not the opposite way. He called us. He justified us. And He glorified us. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. So, do you see the words we are? He. Let's say together, He. It means the Lord. He called us. He justified us. And He will glorify us. It's a beautiful promise. It is His mercy and His love that led Israel to victory, not their perfection or their ability, but simply His love for them. And this is the actually truth. This truth has power to give freedom to all of us. It's very important to remember. It is because of His righteousness that we have mercy and forgiveness. And thanks to God's love, we are here. The righteousness given to us by the Messiah is our foundation. Amen. Amen. So He is righteous, and He called us into His righteousness. We need to remember, because in the moment when we're forgetting about this, we are trapped in our self-righteousness, in pride, proud, and in many, many evil things. And Rabbi Shaul, he is speaking to us. Remember, you are in the position of believer because He called you. And you are righteous, not because of your righteousness, because of His righteousness. And it's very difficult to build upon ourselves. Why? Because we are people. We have battles inside of us. Sometimes we are doing something wrong. I don't speak about everyone, but at least most of us. And this is why we are building upon righteousness of the Lord, of Yeshua. His death and resurrection. This truth bringing peace in my heart. It's great. Rabbi Shaul has painted a beautiful picture of how this truth works in the life of believer. And I want to read it because, you know, the scriptures are don't have the chapters. And the chapters, it's helpful for us to find the place, but sometimes it's damaging for us. When we stop on some quote, and don't read next chapter. So I want to read chapter 7, the end of chapter 7. And I want to read the beautiful picture of chapter 8. It was the same letter, without chapters. Without chapters. Verse 24, I start when I leave you. Miserable man that I am. Of course, we are not righteous. We need mercy. We are guilty. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Of this battle inside of me? One part going to the Lord, another part always trying to stop me. Always it's hindering me. Thanks be to God, it is through Messiah Yeshua our Lord. So then, with my mind I myself serve the Torah of God, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. So he's repeating the same idea. Battle inside of us. One part is going to the Lord, another part is also tempted, always tempted to go in another direction. And the verse 1, next chapter, don't stop at the chapter 7, read the next verses. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. No condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and death. So you have power from the Holy Spirit. You have power to choose right things and go to the right direction, to the mountain of the Lord. For that was impossible for the Torah, since it was weakened on account of the flesh. God has done, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as a sin offering, He condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. If you remember the moment of covenant, when the Lord made covenant with Abraham in the first book of Torah, Abraham brought all the animals. He put them on the place, and remember what's happened next with him. The Lord put him to sleep. It was, he was deeply asleep, out, drugged by the presence of the Lord, completely out. And the Lord made covenant with whom? Two people should walk around these animals. One was sleeping. Deep covenant. The Lord made covenant with Himself. Why? Because He knew Abraham will not keep his covenant. It's impossible for the man. If you remember Yeshua, before His death in the garden, He asked His disciples to stay with Him. You remember? And what's happened there? You know, when I thought about this situation, I understood something. The Lord will not allow flesh to take part in His covenant. Yeshua, He is our covenant, only He. This is why our foundation of faith, this is the righteousness from Him. We can build upon it. We can be free. We can have faith, be sure that He is always for us. He is always for us. So Rabbi Shaul finds the answer to his question in the fact that Yeshua freed us from condemnation by His work of redemption. And later in chapter, if you will read chapter 8, it's a beautiful chapter, beautiful. He is continuing unrolling the picture for us. And in one of the verses he said, like he's cried out, if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? It is his conclusion. Chapter 7, he goes to chapter 8. He's speaking about battle inside of us, freedom in the Holy Spirit. He speaks about Spirit of the Lord fills us and pray through us. No condemnation for those who in Messiah Yeshua. Because you are forgiven, your sins are cleansed. He is with you. And if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? And when you understand this, your heart filled with the gratefulness, with joy, with peace. This is why Moses is speaking to Jewish people and he's saying to them, it's not because of your righteousness you're entering the land. Because I love you. This is me. I leading you into this land. I promise and I answering. If I say so, it will be. It's perfect, beautiful. This is the foundation for us, beginning of our faith. What an amazing liberation. What freedom to realize that your forgiveness does not depend on your own perfection, your own goodness, that is not built on your own righteousness, but that it stands firmly on the righteousness of Yeshua, the only truly righteous man to ever walk in this earth. So it's the beginning. This is the real freedom. And we need to know beyond all doubt that Messiah has forgiven us and that we are justified by his sacrifice. And then, having been forgiven and justified, we can now live in freedom to walk in the way of God. And I want to continue. We have no time and I have so many things to say all here, but I want to continue to say next step for us. So first, forgiven by the Lord, by Messiah, what to do now? How to accomplish our faith? How to grow in our faith? How to go unto the mountain of the Lord? And Moses giving us the answer here too. So I want to pick the word Torah. It's mistakenly understood by many believers to be only a book of laws. It's all like law. Torah, it's law, it's all. But in fact, it is so much more. The Torah means instruction. The Torah is a way of teaching, a pattern for our living. So Torah is living. It's the way. It's not that just law, you know. It's way, how to go, where to go. So Moses given us the meaning of the Torah, and I like this, Deuteronomy chapter 10, from the verse 12. So now, O Israel, what does Adonai your God need of you? You are righteous, you are ready, he is leading you. What he needs from you? But to fear Adonai your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, to serve Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the mitzvot of Adonai and his statutes that I am commanding you today for your own good. So, fear the Lord. Let's say together, fear the Lord. Walk in his ways. Love him. Serve him. Keep his commandments. So this is the path. This is the way, by faith. Already with the righteousness of the Lord, it's possible to go up to the mount of the Lord. And in the end, at the end of our lives, everything else will lose its meaning, and all success will be contained in the few words from the Lord. So everything, only one verse of the scriptures, Matthew 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little, so I'll put you in charge of much. Enter into your master's joy. This is the answer. We need to hear this voice in the end of our life. If you would like to read at home and read more about battle side of us, it's Matthew chapter 13. I don't want to read it here, but beautiful chapter from the verse 3, the parable about the man who spread seeds. And this is about four different hearts. One, it's not interesting for me, you know. I'm not serious about the Lord. Not today. Another man, okay, I'm with the Lord, I'm ready, but does not develop the deep relationship with the Lord. Don't have prayer time, don't have sacrifice heart, full of mercy, full of generosity. Third, yes, I'm accepting the will of God, but I'm too busy. I live in America. And only fourth heart, good heart, that build deeply, dig deeply, looking for the Lord, for his will. And this fourth will bear much fruit. And I want to end to read one interesting thing from my heart. When we become part of the Messianic community, we experience dramatic change. I speak about myself. Our life is profoundly affected. We now live according to new values that we did not recognize before as Messianic believers. Like Ruth, the Moabites, who said, your God shall be my God and your people my people. And I believe it's not only for the non-Jewish people, not only for Gentiles, for the Jewish people too. We need to know our Lord, and we need to come to Him as a new creation. We are entering a completely new life, accepting the values of God's people and the new way of life. For all who come into the Messianic community, this is true. Once we were blind, now we can see. Once we did not understand the value of the Shabbat and its meaning. Now we have learned to accept and appreciate this holiday for the blessing what it is for us. Once we did not care which holiday to celebrate. Now we see value of instruction in God's feasts given to our people. It is so important for us. Once we did not understand the value of Hebrew. Now we realize the importance of this powerful and beautiful language through which the Lord has chosen to instruct us. Once we did not realize the importance of sharing good news with the Jewish people, now we do. Once we did not understand the value of Torah, now we appreciate and thank God for such a solid foundation He laid for us in Torah and for His instruction pointing us to live in relationship with the Most High God. Each of these new understanding strengthening our Messianic calling. It is extremely valuable to us and to the Lord because it helps us to produce fruit that is pleasing to Him. Amen. So let's end with a prayer. And remember, we are called by Him, we are justified by Him, and He will glorify us with Him. And with this foundation, five steps, very simple steps, how to follow the Lord. So let's pray. Lord, thank You for opportunity to worship You, Lord. Thank You for wonderful opportunity to be together in this place, Lord, beautiful place. Lord, I ask for blessing upon all of us. And Lord, I ask for freedom from all the condemnation, Lord. If somebody in this place are battling with condemnation, Lord, bring Your freedom to their hearts, Lord. Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach. Speak to them about Your forgiveness, about Your love, about Your mercy, Lord. Thank You so much for Your mercy. And thank You for victory in this battle, Lord. You already gave us victory through Yeshua the Messiah, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. So let's stand up together and pray with the Aaronic benediction. Close our service with a prayer. Please don't be alone. It's our family tradition to be together. Yeverecha Adonai veishmerecha Yahel Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, His peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen. Shabbat Shalom.